Vision. All four of you, I think, will be in the chapel. So as you go out the door today, in the chapel right next to us, they will all be over there. And encourage you to go by, get your questions answered, and get going. I know I'm looking out and I see people sitting in the congregation that have been a part of Team World Vision before and have ran and raised money and did things in that. And so I thank you for your support in previous years. And so we're looking for people that are interested, and they'll answer your questions. So just go to the chapel right after the morning service concludes, and y'all will be over there and be glad to answer any questions anybody has at that time. For just a few minutes this morning, let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke and Luke's Gospel. We want to welcome those that are joining us by way of live stream this morning. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and that we're going to take just a few minutes this morning, and because we are going to serve the Lord's Supper here at the end of the service today, and that's always a highlight. We served the Lord's Supper the last time on Palm Sunday. Hard to believe that was 6 weeks ago, and here it is, 6 weeks down the road. But we try to serve the Lord's Supper every 6 to 8 weeks, and so we'll be doing that here at the end of the service today. But last Thursday of this last week was the National Day of Prayer, and we appreciate those of you that took time out of your schedule. We should take time every day, but also especially on the National Day of Prayer to spend time in prayer and to lift things up in prayer. I shared with you in the last Sunday in the message things that you can pray for, and I kind of identified 9 things. One, pray for your federal government and that you're getting ready to go into a major preparation for another election, for a presidential election. The federal government, those that serve in the cabinet, those that serve in the White House, those that serve in the Congress, we need to pray for those leaders by name. And so pray for your federal government. Pray for the state government. Pray for your governor. Pray for those in the House and the Senate and those leaders that make decisions, legislative decisions, and have guidance and direction over the state of Michigan. And that there's a lot at stake. I got a phone call yesterday from Focus on the Family. And one of their reps was calling me and saying, just wanted to check in with you, even though Roe versus Wade is overturned. And at the Supreme Court level, the issue of abortion is still not over. And it's a major battleground, even right here in Michigan, leading the way in a lot of ways on still the abortion issue. And so there's much for you and I to pray over on a federal level, state level, and the local level, and then the federal judges and Supreme Court justices, and a lot that you can uplift in prayer. I also encouraged the congregation last week to pray for education. A lot has changed in America in the last. We need to pray for our teachers, administrators, and a lot of things that has come in with a lot of challenges along the way, and I'm not going to get into all that right now, but need to pray for those in education. Pray for the media, pray for the church, pray for our military that serves around the world, and both here in the country and around the world. Pray for the military that serves faithfully and protect our freedoms and our country. Pray for businesses and families, a lot of families in businesses and that got hit very hard by the coronavirus. Ron talked a moment ago about the coronavirus. It affected the health of a lot of people. A lot of people didn't make it through the coronavirus, and it impacted a lot of things around the world, and people lost their lives, and people's health has been changed, and a lot of things. So we need to pray for businesses, a lot of small businesses closed up doors. And then we need to pray for our families, which I believe today is under attack. Our family today, one of the three institutions that God has created, is really under severe attack today. And there's 9 things that I listed right there that we need to really uplift in prayer. But when you think about it, Jesus, I got to looking in the Bible, Jesus taught 3 parables on prayer. If we would just do what Jesus taught, it will change our prayer life. So in a real short period of time here, I want to give you 3 things to focus on that Jesus taught on prayer. And we're going to look at the first one here in Luke chapter 11. And it's really the friend at midnight, Luke chapter 11 in your Bible. And Luke 11 beginning in verse 5. And he gives us what is called here is the parable of the friend at midnight. Luke 11 chapter 11, verse 5, down to verse 13, the Bible says, "And Jesus, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So the first thing we see in this first parable, as I said, Jesus gave us three parables on prayer. And here's the first one. And the friend that comes to me. And the message in this parable is as simple as in our prayer life to keep trying, keep persisting, and keep praying and until you get the desired result that you asked for. Don't give up. Many times we pray once or maybe twice or three times and then we'll lose interest. Or we'll say, well, God's not going to hear in my prayer. God's not answering my prayer. God answers and on a different time frame. So it teaches us the persistence that we need to pray without giving up. Don't give up. Don't quit. So whatever you're praying for, whatever the necessity in your prayer, whatever is the burden of your heart, whatever is troubling your soul, be persistent in that prayer. So the lesson here for the believer, for the Christian, is very simple. Always pray and don't give up. Never give up. Never give up and don't quit. Prayer is not a means of coercing God to do what we want. Prayer is a process of recognizing God's power and then what his plan is for our lives. So in prayer, here's what we do in prayer. We yield ourselves and our lives and our circumstances unto the Lord. And we trust God to be able to act in his time and his way. So we see that here in the message of this first parable. Go to Luke 18 now. Let me share with you the second parable. And we'll see the other two parables are right here in the same chapter in Luke 18. We're going to look at verse 1 to verse 8. And that is the parable here on prayer that Jesus taught about this persistent widow. And I love this parable. And look at it here. It says in Luke 18, verse 1, just the first eight verses here. And it says, "And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying," and here's the parable now, "there was in a city a judge which feared not God and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So here's the second parable that Jesus taught. Now, in this parable, what's interesting here is the parable here teaches us to be persistent in our prayer life and to be persistent in justice and resilient in everything that we do. So in this parable here, we see this powerless widow persisting and nagging, really, if you will, this corrupt, powerful person or this judge to do justice for her. There's a lot of injustices in the world, and we look at it today and we say, you know, when is there ever going to be justice? Believe me, God knows everything that's going on. God sees everything. God sees the good. God sees the evil. And we need to trust God that He knows exactly what has taken place. This parable teaches you and I to always pray and don't lose heart and don't give up. And though many barriers sometimes exist in the world to prevent us from receiving and experiencing justice, we get justice by petitioning the one who brings about justice here on the earth. God is in control. There's nothing that's going to catch God by surprise. There's nothing out there happening right now in the world that we live in that God says, oh, I didn't know that, or oh, I wasn't aware of that. No, God sees, has His eye on the good and His eye on the evil. God has His eye on all things and all walks of life. You and I need to be persistent here, just like this persistent widow. And so the parable is always to pray not to lose heart. And don't get discouraged. And though many barriers exist, like I said, in the world, and that prevent us from receiving and experiencing justice, we get justice by waiting on the Lord, who will bring about justice here on the earth. God will bring justice, and we know that. And we're to be persistent in that prayer and persistent in seeking that justice and resilient in everything that we do. Look in this same chapter here, chapter 18, verse 9. We see Jesus in this chapter teaches this the third parable here on prayer. And notice what He says, and here's the third parable that Jesus taught on prayer. He said in verse 9, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here's the third parable. Now in this parable, Jesus wants to teach us the importance of praying. I think here, praying with the right attitude and having the right attitude in our prayer life. And this parable is aimed at those who think they are righteous or very righteous and look down on others in society. We see that in the world we live in. There's a lot of prejudices out there, and there are many that look down on others, and that's what was taking place here. And we know the Jews had to pray three times a day, and people would go to the temple for times of private prayer. So whether a believer is called to resist his human spirit, which tends to envy, or to rejoice in the Holy Spirit, who jealousy yearns for each believer's edification, here the call is to shun pride and to submit humbly unto the Lord. And that's what happened. He says here, he said, I tell you, this man here in verse 14, he went to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus took time out of all the parables that He taught, took time and taught three parables of the three which I have given to you today in Luke chapter 11, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 8, and in verse 9 to verse 14, and these three parables. Jesus prayed early in the morning as well as at night, and He prayed both before and after great events of His life, and then He prayed when life was unusually busy. Did you ever do that? You know, I mean, praying morning and night, and that. Not only that, realizing. Did you ever get so busy and things are going on, and you get to the end of the day and say, you know what? I haven't taken time to pray today. I haven't taken time to worship the Lord today. I haven't taken time to do. Jesus took time morning and night and prayed and earnestly went to the Father, did so as an example for you and I, and prayed when things, and sometimes we get so busy we just need to back up, calm down, and just quiet our lives and go to God in prayer and say, Lord, and focus on Him. And so Jesus taught us to persevere in prayer. And each time Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He expressed His willingness always to obey the will of the Father. And that should be a part of our prayer life every day. God, You know more than I know. God, You're on the throne. You can see the big picture. I cannot. So God, may your will be done, and I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to walk with you. And sometimes God opens doors and closes doors. So God, and Jesus always in the Garden of Gethsemane went to pray, and he always made sure that he prayed that the will of the Father would be done. Likewise, we can learn from that good example. God, it's not my will, but it's your will. It's whatever you want. I'm willing to obey that. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to lean upon you. So each time Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was a priority to him in his prayer, was to obey the Father's will. And then Jesus, oftentimes, you notice that, would dismiss the crowds and go into a mountain or go into a quiet area alone to pray. Sometimes, my friend, you just need to dismiss the crowd. You need to go away, wherever that is, at home or at work, and get away from everything and everybody else and get alone with your Heavenly Father. And take your petitions and uplift Him in prayer. And remember these parables that He taught and be persistent. And so whatever it is you've been praying for, whatever burden it is you're carrying around, whatever weighs heavy on your soul, be persistent in your prayer life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Remain faithful, remain dedicated, and day in and day out, and be until God answers and gives you exactly what you want. I love reading this morning about Solomon over in Sunday school, and Solomon, when he got the throne and took over as king of Israel, he was a young man, and taken over David, and that he didn't know if he was up to the leadership of what God was putting on his shoulders. Remember that? So what did Solomon do? Prayed that God would give him an understanding heart and give him great wisdom to be able to handle the task that was in front of him. And God said, okay, Solomon, because you prayed that and you didn't pray for yourself, you didn't pray selfishly, you didn't pray these things upon your own lust or your own consumption, not only will I give you wisdom, not only will I give you understanding, but I'm also going to grant you riches and this and that and several things that he gave him along the way. Being persistent and asking for the right thing and asking for the Father's will to be done. So don't pray to be seen of men. Go to the Father in secret and to your Heavenly Father and take your petitions before him. So as you look at these parables today, yes, the National Day of Prayer is over on Thursday, but don't let up on your prayer life. Don't quit praying for the things that are a priority in your life. Be persistent, be consistent day in and day out, and make that a matter of prayer as we serve the Lord together. We're going to take it this time, prepare to serve the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that we want to do as we think of serving the Lord's Supper, there's only two ordinances in the local church that God gave. He gave the baptism, which we all to do. And there may be some in our congregation here that maybe you've been coming and you've been saved, but you're not yet baptized. Every convert, every believer should be baptized. Why? Why do you need to be baptized? Because it's a command of Christ. It's being obedient to Christ. It's identifying with Him. It's letting the world know that you've made an internal decision and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Follow the Lord. To not be scripturally baptized is to disobey God, to disobey the Lord, and to do not what He's commanded. He's commanded baptism by immersion as a believer in Christ. And if you need to get baptized, we'd love to talk with you about your baptism. We can help you do that and get that scheduled and get that taken care of. Second thing is the Lord put in place was the Lord's Supper, that we partake in the Lord's Supper. Here at First Baptist Church, we partake in, I guess what we would call it as open communion. By that meaning open, it's a ministry of the church, but it's also open if you're here and you're saved, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been converted to Christ, you've been born again, and you know Him as your Savior, and that you identify with Christ, and you should have by now followed the Lord in believer's baptism. We encourage you to partake in the Lord's Supper with us, even if you're not a member. But the requirement to partake in the Lord's Supper, it's not my requirement, it's Jesus' requirement. It was for the believer, it's for the Christian to identify with Him. So we encourage you, if you're saved and you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we encourage you to partake with us. If there's somebody that's younger in here and they're not yet saved or not yet trusted Christ, number one, we'd love to visit with you about that decision and that you would make that decision to follow Christ and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. But if you're here today and you're not saved and you're not ready to be saved, then we just ask you pass the plate and on to the person next to you. So ask the deacons to kind of gather back, or the men that are preparing the for that. Brother Ron, if you're coming up, that'd be great. And we're going to take and read some scripture. If you go to the book of Matthew, we'll share some verses with you in the Gospel of Matthew over in chapter 26. You get to Matthew chapter 26, and you can kind of follow along with us. And when you get to this chapter, it really opens up in Jesus here talking about going to Bethany, and there he's anointed with oil by Mary of Bethany. We find that Judas Iscariot sells out to the Lord Jesus Christ and betrays him. And then the preparation begins for the Lord's Supper. So Matthew 26 and verse 17, which says, "Now the first day," Matthew 26, 17, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, The time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man that goeth, that is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Verse 26, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, brake it, gave to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And then when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Take your Bible, if you will, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think it's always important that when we just take a moment and kind of pause and kind of examine our own heart. Here Paul gave to the church at Corinth what the meaning of the Lord's Supper is and the order of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, you can follow along in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, which says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So we're going to pause for a moment of prayer. This gives you an opportunity right where you sit to pray, right between whatever's on your heart, between you and the Lord today, and talk to him before we partake in the Lord's Supper together. And then I'll pause for a moment, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, we come into your presence today thanking you for being our God and being our Savior. God, thanking you for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. We recognize what he did for us on Calvary, giving his very life and shedding his blood that we could have eternal life. So God, we know today as we partake in the Lord's Supper, it's to remind us that we would always remember what you did for us on Calvary. May we never lose sight of that. May we always be eternally grateful to have our sin debt paid for. And the sacrifice that has been paid, God, we don't take that for granted. You made a huge, tremendous sacrifice for us to have eternal life. And God, we're eternally grateful for that. May we examine our own hearts today, number one, to make sure that we're in the faith, that we believe, that we've been born again, saved by the blood of Christ. And God, that we've been obedient to your command in baptism. And Father, then that we would be submissive to your will for our lives, that we live sanctified, dedicated Christian lives. And God, if there's anything in our heart and life today that would not be proper, not be good, or not something that we'd be ashamed of, or something that would hurt us in any way, God, we would confess that before you today and ask you to forgive us. Cleanse our hearts and draw us close to you. And God, we desire to love you, to worship you, to praise your holy name for who you are. So thank you for the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time, and as they come, we will serve the elements today, the bread first. We'll ask as they pass that out that you will just take that and hold on to that, if you will, and then we'll all partake together, and then we'll pass out the juice, and then we will all partake together in that. Thank you. Bible says in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22, and when the hour was come, he, talking about Christ, sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Sunchek to lead us in prayer, if you would please, sir. They did break and all eat. I should have put my glasses on, huh? The privilege of getting older. The Bible says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Ask Brother Neil Hoffman to lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Father, we thank you again for the sacrifices that your Son made so that we can journey into heaven forever. Thank you, and God's name is first.
And they did all drink. You can put that in the cup over there in the pew in front of you. And that is customary. They sang a song. Brother Ron's going to lead us in just a verse of a congregational. While they're doing that, we're going to ask the ushers to prepare. We always take a benevolent offering and to help the needy or the poor or somebody that's struggling. And so anything you give in this offering right now will go to help somebody that's having a struggle along the way. It's a benevolent offering, and we do that every time we take the Lord's Supper. So as Brother Ron leads us, the men will prepare to receive that offering.
Let's all stand and sing this song together, all right? Sing with me, please.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in
a moment. Going to give you a couple announcements, and we're going to let be dismissed. One is, don't forget, tonight is the Awana store. If any of you want to be around or a part of that, and I know Joe and Sue and Barb and all the Awana workers have worked hard for that. And again, thank you for your contribution to that through the Awana preparation for that. I think they raised almost $1,000 for the Awana store this year, and that enables us to be able to do that and wrap up a very good productive Awana year this year. And so it's been a great year with the Awana ministry. And I'm going to miss that. They're going to be wrapping up here in the month of May, but God has been good all this year. So if you will, services tonight at 6. And then this week, I'd encourage you to pray for those that are going to Bethel Youth Camp. We own a camp in northern Michigan, and we're going up there for work week. I think there's about 18 people headed up to the camp, and we're going to be remodeling. The money's come in for that. We're going to remodel the putt-putt golf course, and cut some trees down, do some other things, get ready for the summer camping season, and that. So we're looking forward to that. So pray for the safety of those traveling to the camp and back. They'll be headed up Monday. Some will come back a day or two or all week or on Friday by the end of the week. And so if you would, keep that in mind. And then also, too, just to keep in mind a date out on the calendar, the first Sunday in June is, I think, June the 4th, and Brother Daryl, right on the tip of my tongue, Ron, help me out.
Tony.
Yeah, there he is, Daryl Tony. And that. So he was with us when the Imperials were here. And Daryl Tony, a friend of Ron, and that was here with the Imperials. He's coming back on our anniversary weekend. We're not really doing a big anniversary celebration this year, but you want to be here to hear Daryl Tony on the first Sunday in June. Our church will be 66 years old this year. So we look forward to Daryl Tony being with us on that Sunday. And then, if you will, on May the 21st, 2 weeks from now, Rachel Lynn McDonald would like to meet with the nursery workers and the Sunday school workers, and that, if you would, right after the morning service, and meet with her. That's in 2 weeks. She wanted me to announce that today, so you're aware of it. She needs to have a meeting in 2 weeks from now, and some things she wants to go over there. So we're going to ask the Team World Vision, if you'll kind of get a head start, and make your way on back. They'll be back over in the chapel. If you have questions about Team World Vision, you're just excited to get out and run a 26-mile marathon or a half a marathon or whatever it is, and to help them in that ministry, that would be great. And go by the chapel, or they'll be right out here by the chapel doors, and ask all the questions you have. Great to see you in church today. Let's stand together, if you will, and pray for all the ministries. We're praying for you. And if you have any other prayer requests, please, by all means, let us know. Heavenly Father, you're a great God, and we love you. Thank you for the power of prayer. And Father, thank you for these three parables that you give to us in Scripture, and to help us to understand that we need to be persistent and never giving up, and always praying for the things that you've laid on our hearts and our burdens. And God, may we, even though the National Day of Prayer is over this last Thursday, every day from here forward should be a National Day of Prayer. We need to pray for our country, our state. We need to pray for our church and the church family. We need to pray for business and the media and the education and all that goes on, our leaders and elected officials and our policemen, firemen, those at first responders. God, we thank you for all these that serve. God, we thank you for the congregation today. Thank you for the guests and visitors that have come also to worship you. And God, we love you today. Thank you we could partake in the Lord's Supper and guide and direct our footsteps and all that we do. Help us to be a good testimony in the light of the world and salt of the earth this week as we travel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. Good to see you in church.
Stained glass windows, old bar stools and back row pews. I ran to one more than the other, but I couldn't outrun you. Trying to fill up all the empty, trying to numb the pain inside, thinking you'd never forgive me for all those Saturday nights. But thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for 316 and the words it read that say you bled and gave your life for me. Thank God for the choir singing and a voice saying come back home. Saturday night looked like the end of the story. Thank God for Sunday morning. Now I like mine, it's what you do. Yeah, somehow you bring dead things back to life. And it might look like it's over as a stone over a grave, but I've seen you move. I'm living proof you still roll stones away. Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for 316 and the words in red that say you. Like freedom on my face, really is a new beginning. It really is amazing grace. Thank God for Sunday morning. Thank God for 316 and the words you read that say you prayed and gave your life for me. Thank God for the choir singing and the voice saying come back. God for Sunday morning. Thank God for Sunday morning.
Stripes are great.